Podcasting 2.0 for November 4th, 2022, episode 109, 4 gigs of knitting. Hello, everybody. Brand new month. Welcome to the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. It's completely backwards compatible with your 1.0 thinking and apps. Don't worry about it. We're dragging you along into the future. Everything happening at podcastindex.org, the namespace for the podcastings, and of course all that's happening at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry, here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, Mr. Captain Proto himself. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
I feel like Lieutenant Proto. Like, what is is Lieutenant bigger? Like, is that higher than a captain or less than a captain? What?
Oh, that's a good
what's
question.
What's the rank there?
I think you can be
private. I feel like Private Proto.
Yeah, like Radar, basically. He was a private.
Yeah, whoever that guy is on the Star Trek away team that you know is going to die, that's the guy I feel like.
So, yeah, you explained Captain Proto to us, and I have a feeling you were kind of digging this Captain Proto deal.
I was digging it until I actually had to start coding in it. Oh, and then pulling my hair out.
It started to suck?
It's not that. It's not so much that as this the... I've been fighting my environment all week. This is hard.
You mean your work environment, your development environment, or yes, your that. Wife?
No, number two. Yes. Oh no, the wife environment is always fantastic. Number two.
Hello, we all know this.
Yes, the development environment is so. Is wonky, and it's just driving me a little bonkers, because I'm Windows with WSL, Windows Subsystem for Linux, running Ubuntu, and WSL is really flaky when it comes to networking, especially with localhost. It just
There's some stuff that just does not work right no matter what you do. I've run into this myself.
It doesn't. I mean, it's like 127.0.0.1 should always just be 127.0.0.1.
Right.
But somehow in Windows, it just magically doesn't behave like localhost sometimes. Yeah. And you drive, and so I need this Docker container running that's got the new socket, technology, in the new socket code in it. And it's running and it's listening on localhost port 9999. And then I'm connecting to it from the Podping web front end, and it just will not work. And it's driving me bonkers.
Yeah.
But I can't switch over. The only other machine, dev machine I have, I've got the podcasting rig, which is Ubuntu, and then I've got but I don't like working on it because it's not in a good place.
We know.
Yeah.
We know all about your
boot.
Yeah. Three boots into the show and you realize this is not a clean machine.
This is not rocking. No.
Yeah.
Not,
yeah. Not no. And so the only other machine I've got that I can really develop on pretty well is the
Mac. Does a podcast index need to get you a better machine? I mean, what do we need to do here?
Now, I've got great machines. They just happen to be neither one is what I need is a Linux machine. I'm about to ditch the Mac.
Woo! There he is. Come back to the dark side, Dave. You can do it. We can have you here.
If you're writing websites on the Mac, you're good to go.
Right.
Like if you're writing Ruby or, whatever, you're probably fine. If you're doing anything that is at all with compiled code or anything a little bit lower level, you just bang your head against the wall with all the M1 architecture problems.
Oh, Dave at podcastindex.org for all your complaints about how he's wrong.
Yeah, I've got a folder for that, for all those complaints. Yeah.
Exactly.
Is the rumor true that we didn't even get a chapter on the latest Podland? I mean, we had a 45-minute interview. So, we didn't even earn a chapter.
Let me take a look. So we got a note from Sam Sethi, and he's like, "Hey, we're doing the 100th and last episode of Podland." Now, of course, we knew this was a pathetic marketing ploy, but all right, we will go along with it. And so we had a really nice interview, but I thought it was going to be a part of the show, and basically, they did the show, and then, oh, by the way, we chatted with Adam and Dave. I'm like, all right, then.
Yeah, the last chapter is 48 minutes long, and it says Sam and James's week.
Let me see. That's great. Let me see Podland here. Let me check it out for a second.
I like it.
Chapters. Here we go. I'm going to look at the chapter. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Chapters. Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah. 40 minutes and 11 seconds long.
48 minutes of Sam and James's week.
Hilarious. Anyway, I thought we were dynamite on that, to be honest about it.
Yeah. We're always dynamite.
Yeah. I mean, it was nice because, you know, we switched roles a little bit. It was, I don't know, just, it was good. It felt, you know, you gave the Genesis story. I love hearing your version.
Yeah. You've got a standing rule that we don't ever appear on shows together.
Do I? Well, mm-hmm. But those guys are a little different.
Yeah.
Oh, did you hear what James did? He's smart, though. I'll give him that. So on Pod News this morning, he promotes the last Podland episode, which of course is what you want to do, obviously. Mm-hmm. The piece he picks is me going, you know, voices like yours and James Quicklin's, these are important in our industry. He's such a whore. Yeah. I was laughing my ass off. I'm like, oh yeah. Of all the things we said in there, of all the things in that 40 minutes.
That was the most important to him. On a personal note.
I enjoyed it. That was very funny. Like,
can I just briefly divert into the topic du jour of Twitter?
Under one condition. If we... okay. One time for the one time! Yeah.
All right. 100 fire! Okay,
yeah, fire! So
I just want to make a general comment about the entire thing. Is I think this all goes back. This is Elon. This is not even really about the specifics, but Elon is the new version of what you called it. You called this a long time ago with Trump.
Oh, Elon.
It was the Trump derangement syndrome sort of thing. One thing that people always kept failing to understand about Trump is that when you interact with him, you are unwittingly becoming a character in his television show. And that feels like exactly the same thing that's happening now. Hmm. People that are interacting with Elon do not realize that they are feeding the troll. They are becoming a character in his TV show. They become the cast of a vast show that he is creating. Like, if you don't like it, just stop it. Just stop.
Wow. That's very interesting. That's a very interesting analysis. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And
it's what trolls do, expert ones. Yes.
Yeah. Well, all I'm going to say is I believe that so far my predictions have come true. Forced authentication is on its way. And not that you probably can't just be an unverified user. I'm sure they'll be fine. You'll just be equal to a bot. So you and a bot will have... I saw a panel of the verified user... I don't have one. The verified user panel changed. And so you can select by all... tweets to you, all that mention you. So that's the same. And the third one, which is verified only. So you can just live in the verified world. You don't see any of that other stuff. So it's an auto filter. Gotcha. And that makes a lot of sense. And so you have the elitist there and you have different tiers and, you know, classes system. And, you know, we can sit at the bottom with the bots, which I think is where I want to be. Plebs, bots, all the same thing.
You live in the dumpster, in the Twitter dumpster.
Except he took it one step further, and I didn't expect that, as he wants to KYC everybody. Well, shoot, with the payment, like, holy crap, he's moving along at a clip there.
The other thing about, did you see the thing about infrastructure? So he said he's directed, let's see, Elon Musk has directed Twitter Inc.'s teams to find up to $1 billion in annual infrastructure cost savings, according to two sources familiar with the matter. And an internal Slack, let's see, the company is aiming to find between $1.5 million and $3 million a day in savings from servers and cloud services, said the Slack message. This article from Reuters is is critical. It takes the approach that by cutting infrastructure costs to that degree, that they're going to, it's going to become crashy, and then they're not going to be able to handle the traffic. I disagree with this. I don't think, obviously, this, you know, I know nothing about their infrastructure, but I'm not disagreeing with this out of extensive knowledge of infrastructure. I'm disagreeing with this out of knowledge of the way that spending gets corrupted in an environment like VC funded stuff, or, you know, which they come from that lineage, because it's just like the military industrial complex. The military industrial complex it has ceased to be able to function in a market where the prices are real and true. They only know how to function now within a government world where the prices are inflated beyond belief with government spending. The same thing happens in Silicon Valley. Like over time, you forget that you don't have to have, you know, billions of dollars of infrastructure. You could probably get by with a lot less if you did it smartly. And I think that's probably what he's looking at. He's probably looking around and saying, oh my God, we've got so much infrastructure that we probably don't need. We could probably cut and typically you say, oh, we need to cut 1.5 million a day. You come in and say, we need to cut 3 million a day. And then they're like, boss, we can only find 1 million. He's like, oh, okay, that's fine. You know, you shoot high and then take what you can get.
Maybe. I mean, I'm personally more interested in the meta of it all. And, you know, people talk about staying or leaving Twitter as if it's like some place, you know, so I just, you know, the way they view that in their mind's eye and the total lack of understanding. I mean, the way, if you hear mainstream, i.e. Kara Swisher, if you hear mainstream people talking about it, it's as if they believe that the only existence for human interaction and entertainment and information should be in this regulated world with regulated companies who are, quote, playing by the rules, who understand how it's supposed to work. These are the type of things she says. And I'm still just kind of baffled how percentage-wise, how few people know that, you know, when you're using your web browser, you're not in Chrome. You know, you're not inside Google. I mean, these are metaphors that we understand, and we know the freedom of the web and the network itself, but it's been so, the apps, I think apps have made it into this place where there's this web thing, which, you know, you do that for certain things, porn. And the rest is all apps. And I think that mentality, that's what you know, also with podcasting and Apple, you know, it's like, hey, to get on that app, you had to go through this process, which of course is kind of bullcrap. It's the antithesis of podcasting.
Yeah. I can see that. You know, the one good thing that's happened over the last week is just lots of people getting over to Mastodon. I don't know how many will stay, but a lot of people entering the Fediverse and getting out of the algorithms altogether, going back to just chronological timelines. That's been good to see.
Yeah, I don't know how many people. I don't know how many people actually move. It's only the survivors. And, you know, at the end of the day, when the rapture comes, a lot of you will not be voted to stay on the island. Trust me on this one.
I deleted my Twitter account a couple of years ago, and my personal one, and I'll never go back to that. I'll never go back to that bonanza.
Yeah, I deleted my Facebook account years and years ago, along with Reddit, kind of in the same week. Mm-hmm. And I don't miss any of that.
No.
At all. My life is probably, I mean, maybe not a direct causation, but it has improved.
Yeah, and I turned off notifications recently on tons of apps.
You got to do that.
Mm-hmm. I got to add Mastodon, even iMessage, like text messaging. I've turned off like everything, and only I have to go to it to check it.
Yeah,
that's been a nice, you know, mental freedom there.
It won't be long. You'll be on Graphene OS soon enough. The walls are closing in on iOS. It's very obvious what they're doing. Yeah, I love installing, you know, for the through the sandbox app store on Graphene OS. You can really set granular level permissions and all kinds of stuff.
I've not been in the Android world for so long. I have no idea what's going on over there. The only thing I know about it is from you. I have to rely on you to tell me what's going on, because nobody I know is on Android anymore.
Well, at least you have a real friend in the real world, Dave Jones.
What you got is not even really Android. I mean, you've got another. I mean, like, once you get to Graphene, you've really left the Android. But, universe,
but here's,
right?
You know, so you go to noagendaphone.com. The instructions are there, even the link to the official way to do it on Graphene OS, whatever their website is, GitHub. And you buy a new Android, it only works on Pixel. So you buy the Pixel, you know, 4, 3, 4, 5, 6, all 7 is all supported. And then, you know, you, do a couple of doobity-loop-doops. You plug it in and go to their website, and the website starts to log in and manage your phone, and it does all the changeovers. You kind of sit there watching. It comes up, and it's alive, and you got Graphene OS. And there's even a way to go back and restore it to Android if you wanted to.
Yeah. Nice. And I'm going to try it. I'm going to give it a shot. I mean, Pixel 6? Pixel, which one are you?
Is the Pixel 6 smaller than the Pixel 6a? I think so. Because I just got the 6a. And then I was like, this thing is a little too big.
I don't like a big phone. Like, I've gone to the iPhone mini now. I'm really done with big phones. I need the smallest one they've got. And I wonder if that's the Pixel. Whichever small, like, if it's bigger than the mini, I'm going to struggle with that to begin with.
Well. Welcome to This Week in Tech, everybody, where we talk about phones. What the heck are we doing? I wanted to mention one other thing before we bring our guest in, because we've got a lot of namespace tags to discuss, and it's a friend of the show. I've been working with Ibex Pay for a back end.
Oh, you have an update?
I do have an update. Well, first of all, I learned a little bit more about the company. I think it's El Salvadorian / Mexican / U.S. Miami Corporation, I believe. Okay. And the family that owns the company, they are one of the largest Western Union franchise banks, I guess, in Central and South America, with 8,000 Western Union. So I didn't know it, but I guess it's a franchise. You know, it's like you set up shop, you have some kind of sort of exchange license or, you know, whatever that is. Thank you, Don.
No, you couldn't. Thank you.
Exchange, you know, banking license, and then you pay a franchise fee, and then you're on the Western Union network. And so one of the newer people in the family went into the family and said, look, we got to set this up, but we got to get lightning going. As you know, we really have to move on this because we could be left behind. And so their entire specialty is using Lightning and Bitcoin, both on-chain and Lightning Network, as the transport layer. But, you know, so you can put in euros on one side and get pesos out the other side.
Oh, okay.
So for them, and this is something they wanted to do, integrate with what we're doing. So we're building, and I say we because they're doing it all, and I'm just saying, hey, here's what we need for No Agenda, and here's how it have to work, which includes, HTTP URLs that you can encode with a preset amount that you can just throw into a newsletter. Of course, a QR code generator. We have to capture certain data for value, which would be a name, you know, it can be whatever, or an alias, and a donation note. But then also they're going to work on timed subscriptions. So you can say X amount per episode or per week or per whatever. And basically everything that PayPal and Patreon do, they'll be doing that. And I don't think they'll want to be doing statistics or anything. I don't think. That seems like we got one to talk about today. You know, there's enough companies who have kind of figured that out. And as I was thinking about it, It's so cool how you can easily switch to a provider of a different service, specifically for statistics, by just adding a 1% split to your value block. So it's like, hey, let me test out this service. Boom. Oh, let me test out the boost bot. Oh, I can test it here. I don't like it. I just take out the split. I mean, this is mind-blowing crap. This is a non-developer's API dream. Like, I can connect to an API just by putting a split into my value block.
That makes me think about whether or not there should be a specific split type where you have a specific value recipient type that's sort of like fee, but something that signifies this is just for stats or linkage or something like that. And the idea there was
the whole idea is just that, just add 1%, the money's going, and of course it may be going towards a service that gives you statistics, but keeps the Satoshi. Why not?
If I
just came up with a business model. If I were the,
three before breakfast.
I know. Hey, more cowbell, baby. So here's an idea. You want to take advantage of this service. So you put us in the split for X, whatever it is. And that's how you get the service.
And the sats just disappear. They get consumed.
I just had on No Agenda for the first time. I just completed it now. The first time, we have a different piece of album art every single time. Okay. On the show, at No Agenda Art Generator, there's now almost 30,000 individual pieces of art. We've only done 1,500 episodes. So you can imagine how much we have to choose from each time. And finally, Nico Syme, and I'd asked artists to do that. He put his Get Albie details in his profile, and I put him in the split for that episode for 10 points.
Ooh, okay. So, how did that go over?
Well, so unfortunately, I didn't have the details until this morning. So he should be receiving stuff as of now, because as we were just going lit here, I got the details and I figured I'm going to put it in right away. And this is a comic strip blogger has been driving this. Although he's always many
artists are very skeptical about the Bitcoin.
All right, well then don't take any. Whatever. Yeah, I'm not mad.
Zero is also an option. Yeah.
So speaking of such, Conshax, Conshax, popped up on No Agenda. Podcast index.social.
This seems to be an evolution of the Saturn dashboard.
I believe so. Okay. I'm not sure exactly who's driving it, but there is deep integration and discussion between the people behind the Conshax, again, Conshax.app, and Albie. And so this is a very expanded statistics package, really, for anything happening in your Albie wallet for podcasts. I mean, I'm just looking at the dashboard. It has how many number of donations, and you can do it by, so if I do for 7-day overview here, gives you all time donations in this particular time period. You go to earnings. It has, total donated amount, number of supporters, sat streamed minutes, so 9,901 minutes. And it does. The only thing that's a problem is that, of course, Adam shows up. Hey, let me try your shit, and then
breaks.
Well, yes, exactly. we never expected to have more than 100,000 transactions. I'm like, yeah, hold my beer and connect here. It's like, watch this. But it's really pretty. I'm going to get Mo, get him set up, because this is something you can actually look at this and say, holy crap, this is useful. And there's a lot of useful information in here, a lot of easy ways to see the boostograms, to really slice and dice in They've got analytics where you can look at total number of supporters in the timeline. So people actually listening, it goes up or down, and then you can see the donation amounts in a, you know, separate. I mean, per episode for the whole, you know, for a whole series. It's just really, really cool. And I would say, you know, take my Satoshi or whatever I have to send.
You know, yeah, take, so
keep that percentage.
I haven't looked at this. I haven't looked at the dashboard. So is this something, how do you do the connection? Is it OAuth or do you just send it split?
It does it. Well, hold on. I'm going to log out. This is the new thing that Albi is smart about. So you hit conshacks.app and it says Conshacks. Oh man, look at this. Conshacks. Value for value dashboard. Stats. Ooh. About your sats.
Yeah, log in with Albi here. Shht.
So I'll log in with Albi. Pops up the Albi authorization pane. Pew. Authorize. And boom, you're in. And that's and right away you can see the purple dot says it's loading your transactions.
Yeah, it's doing that with me too. And I wonder if that's...
Maybe we just broke it. Cause, oh, there it is. No, mine's loading now.
No, mine pulled. Yeah, mine pulled up. Let's see. Yeah, mine's pulled up. So what? Okay, so this... I would challenge people, somebody out there, developers out there, to do something like, because this is OAuth, which is great. I mean, this is nice if you're in the Albi ecosystem. But if you're not in the Albi ecosystem, you can't use this.
No, what do they? They have another option. What is it? I guess they don't. No, this is only within the Albi ecosystem. You should be able to connect it to your own node, though.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess you have helipad and things like that. So I mean, this is not a criticism of Albi. I mean, if you're in the Fountain ecosystem, you're going to see Fountain's stats. If you're in the Albi ecosystem, you're going to see Albi stats. You know, if you're a cowboy and you're riding your own horse, you're going to have helipad or whatever. So, but it would be nice if there was a thing that worked the way that you just described earlier, where you just simply give it a split of some amount, 1%, whatever, and those sats get consumed by the dashboard service or by the stats service, and you just get the stats. That would be cool, and where you don't have to even do
wait. Run that OAuth by me again. Or anything. Run it by me again. I just want to make sure I understand it.
Yeah. So, like, it would be a stats dashboard service where you just throw the split in. And you're not sending to a wallet you own. You're just paying for the service.
Yeah, you just pay. Now the only problem is you're sending percentages, not individual sats. So I mean,
that could be the model. I mean,
in my mind, it's value for value. So people have to understand you're going to be sending more, just like any other split. But I think that's the way to go. That's like immediate. Immediate makes sense. Let me tell you, Podcast Index gets 1%. Now, of course, when you're under 100 sats, we're still getting one Satoshi, so it's not it's much more than 1% under the 100 sat level.
And that is all depending on the way the app wants to handle that. Like they, you know,
yeah, there's a lot of different ways. But so just from the traffic itself, you know. We're able to provide nice liquidity. You know, we've never added any fiat or any other external Bitcoin to the wallets and then the initial amounts we put in.
Yeah. The only money we put into the node was when we first built it and we put what?
$1,500 bucks. But I don't know. Okay. I don't remember what the exchange was at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, and we haven't had to add anything else
from
fiat since.
No.
So everything's been self-sustaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a real service. I mean, it could really work.
Yeah.
I just like to see that because that provides you a thing that's outside of, it's like you don't have to be within Fountain or Albi or it's not tied to a wallet provider. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. Like, no, I, it's exactly this. In fact, Conshacks dudes, Albi, you're crazy if you don't do this. Turn it around right away. Allow that, you know, so perfect. Such a perfect idea.
It's like having Helipad, but you don't have to run your own node.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And that's worth a split.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's really worth a split. And it's completely controllable. No sign up required. You know, it's like, hey, you sent us the money. We know where you're coming from. You're in.
And since you get the original SATS thing in there, since that property is within each payment.
You could
do things like calculate taxes at the end of the year. You can generate a sheet that shows your income and all that stuff when you file. Yeah. And it essentially gives you like a little 1099 type deal.
Yeah, that's the only thing Conchacks hasn't done right yet. I don't think they understood that. They haven't figured it out yet. An
income statement. That's what it should give you, like a little income statement.
A whole P&L, baby.
The P&L. Yeah. Yeah. It should give you a P&L. You should run your business off of it.
Actually, they do that right. Let me see. So, oh, cool. It says here, biggest supporter. Okay, that's podcasting too. I think it's, you can now set it to load 1 million transactions, but what is that for me? Like a week? I don't know how many transactions come in.
It's more than that. It's more than a week. I don't remember. I mean, I think because I have to look at it.
It has the biggest supporter March 11th. 100,000. We've had much bigger than that. So I'm not quite sure why that's showing that way.
Yeah, it's probably struggling to pull all that in.
Anyway,
we're not the ideal use case for this.
No, yes and no, yes and no. But it, regardless, true. It's fantastic. Now I want to go back to Ibex Pay for a second because then, so this, you know, I think there's 40 people in the company. It's a real company. There's a nice little team who I have the pleasure of basically telling them what I really want, and they're going to build it, and you know they're going to offer it. And the way they work is 1% of the transaction. That's their fee. And they can send it straight into a different currency. So you can, and you can, there's a slider. You can say, well, I want like 80% in dollars and keep 20% in Bitcoin or Satoshis. Mm-hmm. You can slide that, you know, dynamically, whatever you want it to be. Anything. And once it's over $50, they flush it right out to your bank through ACH. So it's a cool service. Now, so then, they're doing something very interesting. Something I said, hey, you know, I'm not going to be arrogant to say that, you know, that you didn't come up with this, but they did come up with this really, this cool thing to do with SAT. So apparently there's an Australian baseball league. Were you aware of this?
No.
Yeah. So there's a real.
I didn't know they had baseball in Australia.
Yeah. And I can't believe they're not in constant fights with the cricket boys. Anyway, so yeah, apparently there's an Australian baseball league. And they play big venues because they got jumbotrons, and so now they're going to do. I'm not sure when or when this is starting, but on the jumbotron, when a batter is up, they'll have sats for stats. So they'll have his stats, you know, his RBIs and whatever it is, and a QR code so you can scan it and send him sats right then and there on the spot.
In the stadium.
If he screws up. Makes an error, then they have a steal the sat. So the first 100 people to scan the QR code get to take money away from the player. I like that shit a lot, man. Because they're gonna do an LNURL,
withdrawal.
Withdrawal. Limited to 100. The first 100. I'm like, this is great. It's a great idea. I love it. You got to put some.
It's very Australian to also give away to penalize somebody.
Right. So anyway, so you know, we also talked a bit about music, and they were super interested in that because that's, you know, their whole thing is their core mission is to make sure that if you want to go from currency to Bitcoin or vice versa, that's what they do, and they want to facilitate it. So getting over that hump for many. With, you know, just, I just want to receive, can I receive dollars this way? Does it work? There's a whole universe. I don't want to go and learn about it. Lazy bums. Mm. This would get them started. Or if they're worried about, as in some cases, you know, IRS or tax implications or other stuff, just not comfortable with Bitcoin on the balance sheet, etc.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about those guys doing that. I think it'll be a couple more weeks. Oh, and of course they're going to do, Keysend. We're going to put it all together, man. It's going to be fantastic.
I can't wait to see how it works, to see the first, to see the first, you know, the beginnings of it as it first starts rolling. That's going to be fun to watch.
And I think
that's really, it's really a big experiment for you guys.
Oh, it's a very big experiment. You know, once No Agenda can really do that, and we can, we can start soliciting V for V in streams and boostergrams. Oh yeah, it's going to be dynamite.
Yeah, because you're right. It makes the boost button within apps much more accessible to people who don't want to have that on their side, on their end, to podcasters that don't want to have
that don't want to do that, that final that. Step. Yeah. You know, it's like imagine if you could just use Strike. You know, that would work, but, you know, Strike, they only have a couple ways of sending money in or out. And this is a whole, they have an API. You can develop it yourself, but, I couldn't motivate anybody. I couldn't find anybody with any time.
Developers are lazy.
No, not really. And, but they jumped right in and said, no, we want to do this. We want to get this set up. So anyway,
I'm lazy. How about that?
You are working hard, man. That's what's going on with you. Hey, I told him we would bring him in early, and here I am, still true to my word. It's still early for a five-hour show. Please welcome to the boardroom the former Silicon Valley insider, now retired from public life, known as John Spurlock.
Hey, guys. That's all right. I was just following a Rogers Cadenhead over on Twitter while you guys were talking.
Oh, so goodness. Shut up.
Turns out he's from Texas, so he's from Dallas area, right next door.
Yeah. Gee. Okay. Yeah, real nice guy.
I'm getting a double dose of you guys because I listened to Podland or whatever it's called now this morning.
Very long chapter. Very long chapter.
Yeah.
Extremely long week for James and Sam.
Yeah. Very long week. Yeah.
I like your guys' interview, though. I like hearing the Genesis story. No matter how many times I hear it, there's always a new fact that comes out there. So it's always good to hear that.
I want to throw something in, and I jotted this down on the way to the office this morning, not while I was driving, but I thought of it and then jotted it down when I got to the office. But, I had printed this thing off a while back, that quote, I'm sure you remember it, John, that quote from Marco, Arment, where he said cheap, sloppy, I think this was a tweet. He said cheap, sloppy dynamic ad insertion in podcasts continues to degrade the experience for listeners. And he went on, he said more, he continued, it was a longer statement because he then went into how people are blaming the podcast apps for bad dynamic ad insertion. Mm-hmm. And that second part of what he said ended up becoming the entire story within podcasting. It ended up becoming a story about how bad dynamic ad insertion ends up blaming the apps. Listeners blame the apps. But really, like, the first part is almost kind of lost. The fact, and what I mean by the first part is the fact that there even is cheap, sloppy dynamic ad insertion. And I would go further and say, more than just cheap, sloppy dynamic ad insertion, I would say dynamic ad insertion at all. And so here's what I'm trying to get to. I feel this comes up a lot, where you look at things like chapters, transcripts, you know, what have you. And the question is, yeah, but that gets really complicated and it starts to break when you have dynamic ad insertion. Specifically when you have dynamic ad insertion that takes the form of every GET request stitches together a new MP3 file that didn't exist before, sometimes with ads, sometimes without, with various ad slots of different lengths. Yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I guess I just wanted to, this feels like, what's the right way to say it? This feels like sort of a bastardization of HTTP, of the delivery of files through HTTP. And it feels like this all rolls back to advertising being based on IP addresses and geolocation. That's why this in the context of OP3, this gives me, and what you're doing makes sense to me. There's this whole construct that is now really in the last 2 years has really come to dominate podcast delivery. And it's this idea that, you know, downloads are king, IP geolocation is king, you know, user information based on IP addresses is legitimate. And so you've had this entire construct that has grown in the last, you know, couple of years, really, for this dynamically stitched together on the fly content. It's breaking things within podcasting that are good ideas and making that stuff difficult. And the real problem is down the road, it feels like it's all going to fall apart anyway, because IP, we're moving towards a world where IP addresses are not going to be reliable sources of that information anyway. So the whole thing, just this whole on the fly dynamic stitching of advertising into audio enclosures, it feels like a house of cards. That's a huge soliloquy that I'm now going to turn over to you to reply to.
I agree. It makes things more difficult, but I don't see that changing. And in fact, if you listen to a lot of the conversations that are going on, I think you're going to see it a lot more, as opposed to a lot less going forward, because they are outsourcing. So these hosts are outsourcing to third parties that do this, you know, for them. So I think you're going to see a lot more of it. I think we need to figure out as a group how to work in the world where that's the case. So I think we should be able to tweak, and I'm pretty optimistic that we can live in the world where things are delivered that way. Because even without the user targeting, that's one of the things you mentioned that might make it less interesting in the future. They still have inventory. So they, you know, you want to send the ad out 20 times and then stop, you know, no matter who's listening to it, that's always going to be there. So even if they, a lot of hosts will do that now after the fact. So they'll kind of like let it run and then restitch a static file. But ultimately they're all going to go towards the same thing where, you know, it's like the old AdSense thing. Like we'll just have some programmatic way of buying stuff to stick in podcasts and then a way to stitch it on the back end. And if they don't build it themselves, they'll definitely use a third party to do it. Like Blueberry, right? That's someone that has a bunch of development stuff on their end, but they are working with a third party to do it for their shows. And I see it just getting, I don't want to say better or worse, but it's definitely like more prevalent going forward. So I would hope that we can come up with things that work in that world, as opposed to trying to say it's always going to be static files forever.
It was really hitting me hard because we were doing, you know, me and Alex are running these parallel download things this thing is taking weeks, because like, you know, if you're going through downloading 4 million enclosures or, you know, over that, man, I hit a batch the other day. These enclosures were huge. I mean, like 4-5 gigabytes in size. Mm-hmm. And it all of a sudden my disk space went whoop, and I'm like, oh wow, what just happened? And I start looking through these things, and then it got me a little nervous. I'm like, okay, what am I actually downloading? Like,
movies? Were they movies?
And they were not movies. They were like video blogs of like some lady like showing how to knit a hat or something like that.
Oh, and she just uploaded the raw video, the raw files straight from Adobe Starter Kit
or something like that. Yeah, it was like a 5 gig move .mov file. It was in like, you know, 1080p, 60 frames. You know, and it's just her knitting a hat.
See, I think that's cool though. I mean, that's the cool thing about podcasts. Eventually, you know, there'll be players that can play that kind of stuff. So I love that.
I loved it, but I was thinking the whole time.
High definition
like,
knitting. It's exhilarating this Sunday.
I was thinking the
medium
whole time,
equals knitting
that every one of these downloads that I've requested and received in order to just simply do analysis, I'm going to download the episode, run an analysis on it with the ML model, and then toss it. Every one of those in a dynamic ad insertion model, I got delivered an ad for that, and that ad was a complete waste of money. Like this.
What's the user agent that you use for it, Dave?
I just use the Podcast Index user agent. Yeah.
Oh, it's not. Yeah. If it's not iOS, it's not getting monetized.
Yeah, exactly. Now, if you put Overcast in there, I would agree with you. I think they are filtering that out. So they know they delivered it, but they're not going to charge anyone for that. As long as you use Curl or something like that.
Sure. It just goes back to the whole, I guess the concern I have is that there's it feels like there's a framework that there's going to be answers to all of these things. Everything I can throw out, there's going to be something like, oh yeah, well they've already thought of it. And I agree. I do agree. I understand this. I guess in general, I can't kick this feeling that there's been a framework built here on a little bit of shaky ground, which is sort of goes back to what James and Sam were talking about the other day everybody is still concentrated on downloads instead of listens. And I think we do really have to move towards trying to think of listens instead of downloads, because the download centric model just makes everything feel very shaky and unstable. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's my idea. I have to give you my idea now for a second.
All right,
because it'll take us into more conversation. Can't we just create a podcast event parameter that is return my listening habits, and in some cases maybe the app gives you a Satoshi for it per minute or whatever. I mean, isn't that just a simple way? We all know ultimately it has to come from the player side. If the player side utilizes podcast events, the podcast events tag in the namespace, can't one of the events be, voluntarily report? I mean, there's a lot of trust issues here, but we got to start somewhere. I mean, that seems like a very elegant way to do it, because for 18 years, I've said you can't monetize the network. This will never work. It's only going to get worse if this is the standard. It's just going to, and I see the IAB framework and apps and all kinds of shit. Ugh, it's disgusting.
And honestly, even from a tech point of view, it's kind of dumb, because they would, a good player in a good system would cache a lot of this stuff, but it's a business decision why they're not allowing caching, right? Like all these hosters are like, don't cache. Whereas in any other world, they would be, please cache, because you're not hitting our servers over and over. So the reason they do that is because they need some level of info of what's going on. So yeah, if there's another way of getting that.
But you know what gets me?
That would be great.
What gets me, John, is, and by the way, we didn't really intro John properly, but of course, one of the main things he set up is op3.org. Is it .org?
It's .dev right now.
.dev, op3.dev. And so, and you know, we need to delve into that a little bit closer. So he's been really working on these, as a, what do you call it? A prefix service. It's not really a good name, but
yeah, prefix analytics, yes. Stat service.
So what gets me is that I'm sitting here, literally, I made three decisions. Here's the decision I made based upon listening data. So this has nothing to do with advertising, but so just to keep it with listens versus downloads. And I did this in the Saturn analytics that's connected to Albi. And I saw that we had three shows planned for No Agenda for our 15th anniversary. The first Thursday was the actual 15th anniversary. Then we had a Sunday in the middle, and we had a final Thursday, which is episode 1500. And I decided to change the format, knowing that donations would be large. And I thought it would spread out over those 3 days. So instead of doing two breaks, we did 2.5 hours of show. And then we read for about an hour and a half the first day, hour and a half the second day. And I went back and I was looking at listening analytics, and I could see the drop off was so dramatic that I think people who maybe even were listening to wait to hear their name or their note or whatever, that they might not have even heard it. Now, that's just a sample, because all I have is stream Satoshis. But I think if as long as you have a baseline, which I have with the amount of data we have, you kind of get a good idea. And so, you know, I made some decisions for our third show based upon that. And here I was doing stuff that we're still talking about 18 years later, trying to figure out how to implement it. Can it ever happen, John Spurlock?
I think we need to come up with something that people do. I mean, if everyone used that system right now, it would be amazing, right? So it's just like getting something out there that people will adopt. And I think the story behind events, I know we're kind of going all around here, but the one of the tags that's coming up that I proposed for the phase six is hopefully a very simple way for just anyone out there, like apps, to send back trusted information back to the podcaster. So if we take a step back, podcasting is like broadcasting in a way, even though it's sort of, you know, there's feeds and all that. If you take a step back, the podcaster is putting their creation out to the world and they're saying, here, you know, just like a web page, here, world, it's on the internet. Apps can go fetch it. And that's the relationship, right? So it's a very broadcasty sort of relationship. If you look at the boxes and lines of it, right? Mm-hmm. And so they are able to, and that's great, but there's no way for the consumers of that, the apps, right now the relationship on that end is pretty one way. It's like, thank you for this content. I'll download it. And like, as a side effect of downloading it, you get some info. Mm-hmm. You know, Marco has a very strong, you know, he has his very strong principles of what he thinks the right thing to do is. And when he's fetching feeds, he's like, hey, I want to do right by the podcasters. I'm going to tell them how many people are subscribed,
right?
For example, in the feeds. And that's great info. I mean, that's something that you, to your point, Adam, you know, you do a baseline and you say it went up or went down or whatever. But people would love to get that info. But he sticks it in a very forgeable channel, right? He sticks it in the user agent. There's no way for him to, even if he wanted to do it, to send it. So I think the events tag was like meant to be literally just like an inbox, right? It's like, here is a single channel. So we figure out a way to get unforgeable requests in. And from there, we can build these different payloads. So I've heard a ton of different really good ideas so far. So, but subscribers, listens, that's obviously one of them.
I was going to ask you, what is your... where's your focus going to be? And I ask this specifically because I just personally don't feel very motivated to help fix the dynamically inserted ad business. I like what Dave said, which is, hey, this stuff is breaking shit. So what is your driver? What would you like to achieve short term?
Well, I don't like to do anything, so I'm lazy, right? So I did do this for a reason. And I can't talk in great detail about the reason, but let's say I had an interview on Podland a while ago and they were talking about OP3, I think, but that was the week that the iHeart stuff came out. And so we talked about that. And I think as part of that, I had a comment like, hey, these players have this great information, but I'm not holding my breath on them sending it anywhere anytime soon. And that seemed like a pretty non-controversial sort of thing to say back then. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, you confuse me. So you have a reason for this, but you don't want to share that. The only thing that immediately makes me think, well, hold on, I'm giving you all my data. What are you building with my data then? Is this
No, these are two different things. Are two different things. So yeah, so separate out OP3 from podcast events. They're kind of different. OP3. I'm talking right now about podcast events, which is, again, that's what I'm doing.
Oh, I know what you're doing. Your secret isn't it? It's like the biggest known secret in the industry.
Well, I think if you listen to what you guys talked about in your show too, I think you know what's going on.
I'm just messing with you.
But basically, apps, it turns out, are very interested in helping out this problem, and they're willing to do it, but they're tapping a bunch of people on the back and saying like, "How do we do this?" And so, my concern and where I'm coming from with all this is obviously not in any sort of user privacy sort of backstep, right? Ideally, this is all summary information that would be sent. It's only information that they already have and they already give to podcasters at a summary level. And, you know, there's other administrative stuff that could go over this channel as well. But our my concern is that if we didn't have something out there, like as a proposal, as like the open way to do it, as opposed to...
Yeah, it'll get done in closed walls.
It's going to be totally done point agree. To point.
I totally
exactly.
agree.
So yep. I think we need something. Yeah, exactly. It's like, and that makes a lot of sense, right? Because then they can say, all right, like you can get stats from the big three players and that's enough. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that, you know, podcasting is not like that or has not been like that to date. So if we can figure this out, I think people will be willing to use it, but it's also useful in a variety of different contexts. So there is a tightrope, I think, to some level with events. It's like, hey, now we have this new channel that is a trusted way for podcasters to get feedback from apps. You can think of a lot of interesting stuff to send over there. And I think it's like once it's like the namespace within a namespace thing. Once we establish that channel that everyone can trust, and I don't know how tech you want to go, but we can talk about how you can trust it
all the way.
Then we can talk about the payloads that go inside of it. Right. And that's where I think,
I got one. I want one to be a selfie of when, what you're doing while you're listening.
the Be Real app. That's the Be Real.
There
app.
You go. There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah. At this point in the show. Yeah. The app could take a picture. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no bad ideas with this. It's just a channel that doesn't exist right now. And honestly, the channel that does exist is the email address. This is how people ping the podcaster. They hunt for the email address and they send some inbound. And if you're smart, you filter all that out and it goes to spam. Right. So this is a mechanical inbox, right? Where you can have, structured information coming back, and that works for you because you have services that are presenting it to you. You could even envision like a lot of these feed drops and stuff. They're all about like, oh, I'll, you know, here's my offer to be on your show, blah, blah, blah. That's all done with a horrible email right now. Right. But you could imagine, hey, I'll send a structured request. And then on your side, you could have a filter that says once the request gets up to this level from this venue, then I'll accept it, right? So there's all these things that we're doing manually in email right now that can use this channel if it exists.
Yeah, I like that a lot. What will the transport mechanism be? I mean, we've talked about this, I guess. Because does it matter? It's just a URL with an endpoint to hit. Is that what it? What
well, I think you know the answer to that. It's got to be JSON, right? It's got to be JSON.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I walked okay. right into that.
So okay. Right now, the idea is it's got to be as simple as possible. So the proposal is literally just a very simple JSON payload. But that's not the interesting part. The interesting part is how you make sure that that's trustable. And fortunately, we don't have to reinvent the wheel on that.
So what?
Yeah, using the JWT is the right. You know, it feels like a good approach to that. And my question around, so if I understand the spec, it's just a post body. It's just a JSON posted body with a JWT with the, you know, correct, with the correct, I don't know what they call them for verbs. I'm not sure what those things are. And that you construct. So where are the signs? Where are the keys coming, getting assigned at? Is that coming from, I mean, like how, if I'm the podcast index, okay. If I'm the podcast index and I'm going to open up an endpoint for an inbox URL, how do I go about, do I need to give out keys to everybody I want to authorize?
So you would be on those. So I don't, as the podcast index, you probably want to be the sender, right? So you want to send information.
No, I would be a receiver. I would be a receiver. I want to have a receiving endpoint for, let's just say, our feed.
For your feed. Okay. So you'd set up an endpoint, some sort of HTTP thing that listens. It can be in Rust or whatever you want it to be in. And you
I feel
would
like you're mocking me, John.
I think so too.
Mocked. I feel very mocked.
No, we're all going to be Rust developers at some point. I'm just, you're ahead of me a little bit.
That's what they've been telling us for 7 years. So yeah.
But you just set up an endpoint just like any of your other API endpoints, and it received JSON, so that's pretty easy. The tricky part is looking at the authorization header and checking the signature. Now, the signature is based on URLs. So the sender, when it sends the info, it signs it with something that lives on a URL that they own. So let's say Apple Podcasts is sending you information the URL is actually in as part of the signature, and it says like, this is coming from podcast.apple.com/keys.json or whatever. So you see that it's signed with that, and then you can decide, and everyone can decide based on your policy, like whether you trust them or not. And you can look at what typically happens is Apple Podcasts will on their support page be like, oh, this is our keys.json file. If you see stuff coming from this URL, that's us. And then you can have a, what's great about this is there's no meetings involved, right? Like you don't have to set up any sort of initial
there
thing.
There we go. That's my kind of business. No meetings.
Yeah, this is my mantra. But yeah, you know, it allows different people to have different policies. So you could say, you know, if you're very conservative, you can say only trust things that come from Apple Podcasts. But someone like Podcast Index would probably want to support, you know, the long tail of everyone out there and see what everyone's sending. So it's all based on a URL. Apple actually already does this for their two different APIs that they have, the App Store notifications and their identity service. So it is kind of a solved problem, like how to deal with authenticating people coming from any random place on the internet and make sure that identity is stable over time. So it's the same sort of thing. It's not, you know, you have to do a one-time setup on the sender side, but on the receiver side, on your side, you just need to write the code once and then decide in your if statement, like, do I want to ingest further things that come from this URL? And you could even put them in purgatory to start out. You could say, I'll save the data, but I won't process it until I look up this URL and see what's up with it.
It makes perfect sense. So there's a public URL somewhere that lists essentially a public key, and they're going to sign the JWT, send it to you. You can authenticate it by checking the signature matches their public key.
Exactly.
And then decide whether or not you want to trust that entity or not. Let me give you a real world scenario of something that's needed. And it's not necessarily different than what we talked about just a second ago, but maybe there's a little bit more flavor to it here. The one thing that we talk about whenever I talk to people that want to use the index for like bigger things, you know, if there's a company that wants to use the index for, you know, putting podcast data into some device or something like that, one of the things that I always ask them is, you know, hey, you know, this is free. You know, the index is free. Use it, you know, use it however you want. And, you know, if you make a lot of money off of it, consider a donation. But also part of the value that would be great to get back is, can you send us back usage data, you know, anonymized or summary, or I don't care what it is. I just need usage data because one thing that the index lacks severely is real world data about who is listening to what shows. And this is a problem across all of podcasting. It's pretty much what you described earlier. You have tons of podcast apps, all with dedicated user bases, listening to shows, and none of that data is coming back into these quote unquote rankers.
Except for the one that Fountain publishes.
Yes. Other than that, everybody is just like, you know, you have this void of this void of information. So what you end up with is silos of data where you have, like, if I go into Overcast and hit where, okay, I want to go find a show, and it comes up with their trending list, you know, the Marco's page that has all the different popular shows that are currently popular in his system. It's all dominated by things like Accidental Tech and Relay.fm shows.
Is that wrong?
No. I'm not saying that's wrong. No, I'm totally not saying at all that that's wrong. What I'm saying is it would be really nice. Like, that's going to be the case for his app. Then there's going to be Fountain's list is going to look different. The Podcast Index's list is going to look different. Like, No Agenda is going to be up there. Podcasting 2.0 is going to be up there. So if you took all of that data and aggregated it together, you would smooth out all of those silos, and you would have a much better view of what's actually popular across all of podcasting.
I'm going to ask again. And to what end? This is to benefit who?
Well, because we're in, like, Podcast Index. We're not, we're an index. We're supposed to be like, I want neutral data. I don't want data that's been affected by the fact that, that our show is, our show is artificially inflated in our own statistics.
Right. So are you saying we would want to possibly integrate some data from OP3 as an example, or this events data, or this events data? I mean, it's really no different than basically the Facebook a spy SDK, except you ask people to for permission to give the information, and it's kind of the quote unquote ultimate world where you can determine what you want to share with who. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, but that's pretty much exactly it. Because you have, like what John said a while ago, that, you know, the apps don't, people act like the apps don't want to give any data away. And that's not the case. Like he mentioned, Marco gives this away in the user agent, but that's, so it's not like it's some, I don't ever want to give you my data. It's not like that, really. It's just that there's no decent way to do it in a private way that's not gross and or weird. And so if there's this events tag, here's what I'm really saying. I want to immediately take the events tag and bastardize it beyond all belief to where it is I want to have an open endpoint to where people can just send me data without it ever even being in a feed. Like,
well, that's why. Without this. The feed either. Yeah. But yeah, then the app has to make a decision. I don't know. To me, I'm still all about the podcaster should be in control of that, like where their stats are going. But I can see
this is not stats.
That might be useful.
This is not stats, though, John. Like, this would be, here's what I'm totally going off the rails. Here's what I want. I want Buzzsprout to periodically, I want them to somehow publish or send out a list of all the shows on their system that are currently popular. And I want Overcast to do the same thing. And I want Podverse to do the same thing. And I want RSS.com to do the same thing. And Blueberry, I want everybody to somehow publish or send around lists of all of the shows that are popular on their own systems. And this is not privacy in any way. This is just purely just a list of popular podcasts. That way we all have a real ranking system to say, not ranking in the gross sense where you're like, you know, this one's better than this other one, but like actual usage where it's like, okay, for my stats within RSS.com, these 500 shows were the ones that ranked top to bottom by most downloads. That way we can amalgamate that data into one big ranking list that everybody can share, and we don't keep having to go back to Apple and Spotify and scraping their data and to try to find out what shows are actually getting any listening at all.
Well, I you're talking to someone that loves lists. Like, I love, you know, Letterman Top 10. I'd actually do a ton of lists, you know, the stupid Livewire things. That's a list, right? Of the top. I love lists. So I probably love lists more than you do, but I don't see, to me, the ranking, like having some massive ranking list across all podcasts is sort of uncompelling to me. I'm not sure who that would be for. I'm not sure that podcasters would love that. Maybe the ones that are rising in the list would love it for a few days until they start falling. But I don't see that as being like a target that would get people excited about hitting, right? Except for, you know, extreme data nerds. Like, I think, like Adam was saying, it's more of a relative thing, right? It's like, here's what I had yesterday and here's what I have today. And if you can get that from a variety of players, and the way we do that in the open world is to establish a protocol for doing that, I mean, think then you have a baseline in among yourself or your own little group.
Ultimately, like, from a data analytics perspective, the only thing that messes it all up is this incessant necessity and obsession to equate download with a person and a listen. That's the problem. Otherwise, all this stuff is working pretty well. You know, it's like I'm I'm looking at all kinds of different stats, and as long as I don't care about the actual number and try to think that's how many people are listening, which is the entire fallacy. Because so there's 10,000 podcasts now using Value for Value, you know, and using those apps. It's a very successful 10,000 app group. Success is there. There's no necessity for those communities for it to be any bigger. They're already satisfied.
Right.
Yeah, they're satisfying what they need to satisfy.
And you see graphs. Like, that's really what will give you value, is like you see whether that trend line's going up, or like, hey, they're dropped off at this point. And that's something that OP3 or these other systems can do for each individual podcaster. But I don't see it as like a huge goal to like do that for the entire podcast world. No. I'm not sure who that would benefit.
What I will say, just because I look at different podcasts, and this is in the Albie stat system or in Conchax, very interesting to see that on podcasting 2.0, we make much more, we have much more income on Boost compared to streaming amounts. On No Agenda, it's the inverse. We have more income from streaming stats than from Boosts. And the most beautiful thing is on No Agenda, where we don't have Boostagrams integrated yet into the content, you see a drop-off in both donation segments. Podcasting 2.0, during the donation segment, our income actually goes up, which is also partially because we're doing it live and it's being solicited. I mean, this, as long as we don't have to worry about how many people it is, now I would love to have some, I mean, I'd love to have all kinds of OP3 data in there. I'm just saying, as a podcaster, I'm different because I'm not using inserted advertising. I mean, I have more data and excitement in front of me than I've ever seen.
Yeah, exactly. But you saw the OP3, and I love the fact that your shows are on OP3 right now, because it's a great like way to see the just how many different apps people listen to your show on.
Yeah, very. And that was very interesting. Totally.
A ton of Pocket Casts, right?
Like number three on the list or something. It was crazy.
Exactly. And I'll, you know, as I'm working through OP3, I'll give you a nice way to look at that later. But I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think as a podcaster, you would love to see the same sort of just generalized, like, here's where they trailed off, like, here's how many listens from Pocket Casts, right? If they had a way to give that to you. And then you don't have to use that for any decision making other than what you're using it for now, right? Which is kind of to give you a sense of like, okay, like my listeners on these types of apps.
Well, here's what I'm going to do.
Think a certain way, but I actually have more info now.
Here's what I'm going to do. Because thank you. I just wrote a note to myself, a programming note.
Learn Rust.
Snappy. No, actually, I'm going to talk about, I'm going to tell all the Pocket Cast listeners to go over there and kindly request some podcasting 2.0 features from their open source app.
Well, I'm an official congratulations, by the way. Yeah, you are. Congratulations on getting that was a quick merge too. That didn't take long.
What is this? I don't know. What are we talking about?
Real trivia, but there's a new on Apple platforms. There's a new official way to send down.
Oh, the user agent. Yes.
Yeah. So I had this light bulb moment that went off the other morning. I'm like, oh, I could just make the change in the source code.
And they merged your PR.
So it'll go out in the end of November, I think. So they're the first ones to use it because Apple Podcast still doesn't even use it. So. I'm free to do other free development work.
After all, he is semi-retired from the corporate, fully retired from the corporate life.
But it is a good example to show now too, because their code base is actually really good. And, it's a good example. So, some people learn via blog posts or documentation, but sometimes it's just easy to say, look at this file, look what they do here. It's not not that much work. So I thought that was really cool of them to go ahead and merge it.
Hell yeah. I didn't even realize this. That's fantastic. So we need more.
Yeah. It's nice to see that they're living the open source lifestyle instead of just saying, oh, here's the code and never really interacting with it. They actually they're actually being stewards. You know, that's good to see. That's really good.
And anything that's pure client side from the podcast namespace tags, that would be a good like first PR for that project, because they only open really the client side, right? So anything that requires any sort of server interaction is going to be more difficult. But things like chapters, even
there's really low hanging fruit like fun side. Like the funding tag, stuff like that. That's just UI work, you know.
Exactly. So yeah, that's, I thought that was really, really cool.
Now, did you look around in, I haven't looked at the code base at all. Did you look around enough to see whether or not, is it a pure client side download and parse style system, or is it getting feed info from, are the feeds being parsed and then all the broken apart feed elements handed back to the app through their server side?
Well, as we established, I'm lazy, so I did not look through the entire
this is a bad, this is a lazy battle, because I was hoping you would tell me so I don't have to go look myself.
Yeah, lazy understands lazy here, Dave.
Yes.
I do know, having gone back and forth with someone else working through a podcast and a Pocket Cast issue, I do, it does look like most of their stuff is server side. So even if you put in a custom URL, their backend actually parses that. So it's not something that's on the client side. Apple Podcasts actually is old school. They do, if you put in a custom URL, like they will hit it from the client app, even if their servers blow up. So so that's kind of a different model. But yeah, so anything like chapters, ideally you probably do want to do that on a central server, do it once, but I don't know. There's some things that can be done there. Maybe we have an open source backend for Pocket Cast, but just these, it's like a gradient, right? There's some of these things that we can get in there that are quick hits, and some that are going to take a little longer to get in there. But the fact that Pocket Cast is still such a big deal, and it's open, that's like real exciting.
On the events tag, I think it's really good that you put in a proof of concept working back end for that, because this is very much the type of tag that needs working code that people can write against. These sorts of things this is less of a tag and more of a I don't know what you would call it, like a framework for how to do a thing. And whenever you have something that's that conceptual, You really have to put feet on it, or else everybody's just going to, their eyes are going to glaze over and they're not going to do anything.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Yeah. I think that's the way, I mean, just like OP3, I mean, you can propose it all day long, but unless you have something, unless you just build it, people are not going to do anything. So I think that's
definitely good. Open for proposals. Like if you need, if you go through it as the sender or the receiver and it's not clear about something, or it's like, hey, I would love something to test this. Cause that's the other thing. You get something implemented and it's like, who do I talk to? Cause no one speaks the language yet. I think a tester for the sender side. So if you're an app and you want to send something to an endpoint, like I have an endpoint that will validate your payload, but I don't think I have a test yet if you're a server and you're looking for just like, what would app calls look like? So I could definitely get that in there as well.
Can I raise my hand?
Sure.
So here's a successful formula. Thank you. Here's a successful formula is, let's come up with an event. I don't know how he's feeling. He's been rather quiet. I hope he's okay. But Stephen B is the kind of guy who can really quickly whip up an event to jam it into the No Agenda feed. And let's test it with the real audience, because you know, No Agenda Nation, man, you can get them to do anything.
But it may not work in Dog Catcher, though.
Listen, I'm on your side, JS. I'm trying to help your shit, man. It's like
hey, this is backwards compatible with Podcast 1.0, I'm like, except Dog Catcher.
That's not 1.0. That's like 0.9. So let's just be fair.
I see it a bunch in OP3, actually. People are still using it.
Oh, you know, it was quite a number of people who ultimately wound up switching. It's like, it's so weird, man. It's like, I don't know what's up with that dev, but it just wasn't quite gelling somehow. He didn't quite.
Yeah, but I totally agree with you. Anyone that wants to implement either side, yeah, let's run with some scissors here, and because there's nothing more that fleshes out like, oh, this is actually difficult, or you know, this doesn't make sense, other than working code ultimately. Mm-hmm. And I think once you have a straw man out there, then it's like it focuses the conversation on like, oh,
what would you,
is this secure, all that kind of stuff. The only thing I would mention, Adam, is that it is a server to server protocol. So whoever's sending this info, it can't be a client app. So it has to be something where the client app sends it to it, some sort of server, and the server has to send it over.
Oh, because it's a trusted server.
Because you need to be able Steven's to sign up that server. Private key. Yeah, I think that should work in that case. But I just want to say, like, in what general, that's the requirement.
What would your dream first test event be? Close your eyes. Think about it. Don't answer right away. I want you to dream big. It's tap your heels together three times.
I think podcasters would be very interested in how many subscribers do you have on the platform? Like, who clicked follow or whatever the language is for that app? What that is over time, and then also some sort of way of who's listening, like how far do they go at an aggregated level on this show? How many listens did it get as opposed to how many downloads? I think those would be two good first steps. You can also do ratings this way. I think James was interested in that. I think that's another cool thing to do as well. That's more real time. But if it were me and it were to pick two, it would be, I guess, boring, but it would be subscriptions, info, and listens.
Okay. Those two. I'm not interested in ratings at all. It's one star or five stars. Be honest. Everyone gets three stars. That's it.
So here's a layout. So if I'm a Seriously Simple Podcasting plugin user and I want to know how many followers I have, I could use this, and let's just say that there's a followers event. I'm trying to use the term followers and not subscribers. There's a followers event that is opened up on my WordPress instance. And now, there's an inbox URL, an event hook on my WordPress instance, and it goes into the podcast events tag within the Seriously Simple Podcasting plugin. And now I begin to get follower counts delivered to my WordPress instance, from Overcast and Castomatic and Fountain and Breeze and all these apps. So then there can be a dashboard somewhere within the plugin that shows me, hey, you have, 400 followers on Overcast. You have 300 followers on this. And these are not download numbers. These are actual just calculated subscriber counts from the apps themselves. These are real numbers. Rather than
exactly
deciphered.
WordPress
numbers
is enough of a backend that they could implement it themselves. So, I plan on having OP3 or some sort of system that will be a backend that people can just stick it in their feed. And, we'll do all the hard work for them if you don't own a backend. But WordPress, you could probably make the plugin serve as the backend. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you're right. They could create a simple little thing that says, thank you very much. And here's, an aggregated view of that over time. For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that would be something that I thought specifically about those two, about PowerPress and Seriously Simple, because they're two examples of highly distributed, turning your own domain into your own web hosting company. And they already do things like web sub, and they do a lot of stuff there on the private hosting level. So I feel like that is sort of a good, way to, if you visualize that even they could do this,
exactly,
that to me makes it make a little, it's like, okay, this is doable.
You like, go, that's
if
the
it could go
case.
All the way down. Yeah,
you want
yeah,
the
yeah.
protocol to extend down to the level of I could actually, spend a weekend on this and do it. So that was actually part of the reason for me doing a proof of concept. I didn't use any third-party libraries. I'm like, how simple would this be to do just with the primitives of a language? And it's fairly easy to do.
Hey, so, here's a weird...
Now, I'm not planning on doing the work for WordPress, so I'm not yes, signing sure. up for that, but it's not impossible.
I have a weird question about podcast events, because, you know, this is kind of a technical episode. It's interesting. Could I not technically just do a comment through this system if it's going to an authenticated server anyway?
You could. And in fact, I had a meeting with Sam. So he is working on a top secret thing that it's basically, think of it like podcast meets Groupon, or not Groupon, but
Swinger Party.
What was the app that like you become the mayor of things and that sort of thing?
It's called Keybowl. It's called Bowl of Keys.
You're talking about Foursquare.
Foursquare, yeah. So you envision like, okay, so the show is the venue, and so I want to know as a podcaster, what are people doing, you know, at the event? So he would send down like, oh, you know, so and so like, it's like a wall. So every wall event, you know, in the old school way of thinking about a wall, would be sent down. And what's cool about the events thing is it doesn't have to be aggregated. So if like something is blowing up right now, this is a real-time protocol, right? So this is something that could be surfaced like right away and you get a ping. Or as soon as you get featured on a particular platform, they could send you a ping and you could know instantly. So that's the other thing I'm really excited about is it does support aggregated events, which is probably what you'd want to do for listens, right? A huge app like Apple Podcasts is not going to send real-time listens, and nor would we want them to, right? Because that would break the privacy thing. But for things like real-time, like, hey, there's something wrong with your feed, you actually do want to know that fairly quickly. So it does support both models.
So somebody like Podchaser could send back an event to Transistor saying that this podcast on your platform that somebody on Podchaser just rated this show, which you're the hosting company for.
Don't say it.
Just
don't
rated
say
it four stars.
Don't say it. This is what I hate, because you know what's next? I can already see the proposal. Label is not safe for work. Label is racist. Label is anti-trans. Label is anti-climate change.
It's tricky. Yeah. And that's actually a lot of what we talked about with Sam is, you know, what's a user then in that mode, because like every user is different on every platform. So it does. And it does tend to look like ActivityPub, or I don't know if you looked at the new Blue Sky stuff? They've actually started to publish some actual code, and it looks really interesting, honestly. So I think it's still early days. Like this big to do is like to do authentication. But I could see that protocol, especially now with Twitter blowing up, becoming something a lot of people are working on. So either way, as long as there's some distributed way of saying like, this is who a user is on this platform, I think we keep it pretty semi-structured and just say, here are all the things this app sends and here are all the things this app sends. And I think that could be useful too.
Man, it must be so frustrating to sit at Apple as an engineer and think, man, I can't implement any of this. Tim Apple won't let me do it.
Why do they get to have all the fun on this show? we make $1 billion a day. Why can't we do this fun stuff?
Speaking of billions of dollars a day, shall we thank a few people as we go to a buck and a half on today's show?
I think we should.
Board meeting. So these have come in during our lit show. We are live. This is value for value. So everything you're hearing is all kind of supported financially, all the systems that on the podcast index side, as well as what we talked about earlier with the node with liquidity for anyone who needs to pass payments cheaply back and forth, is provided by you. So if you get value out of this in any way, feel free to go to podcastindex.org. You can still send us fiat fund coupons through PayPal, or if you don't have a boost button on your app, you're using an old one, you need to get a new one at nudepodcastapps.com and go ahead and boost us. Boomy, 50,000 sats. He says, happy Friday, high five. Of course, it's Friday evening over there in Deutschland. So thank you very much.
Boost!
Thank you, Boomy. Stephen B is alive. I have proof. He didn't boost us, but I saw 100 sats. Must be a test on a no agenda episode. So I'm thinking he's alive. So that's good news. I haven't seen him in the chat room today. I'm concerned, man. He was in the hospital.
Ugh. Hope you're okay, Stephen.
Yeah. Boobery.
Just send up a red flag every now and then. Let us know you're all right.
Boobery is getting in on the promotion angle. 17,776, a big Patriot boost. This Sunday sees the culmination of 30.3 hours of pure, uncut, high-octane douchebaggery. 72 contestants in total. Now the 8 winners go toe-to-toe. It's Battle of the Douchebags 9. I would love to introduce boosts. How would y'all work in boosts for bracketed-style matches?
Oh, Lord.
What does that mean?
You know, the tournament. That's the douchebag.
No, I'm saying, how do you work in? It's the bracketed style matches that I don't understand.
Bracketed style, like you. Wins this one goes.
Aren't they already using boosts for this?
I don't know. I haven't listened to the show. Oh, I know of the show, but I haven't listened to it.
Well, we got to work on that. Eric PP. A big row of ducks, 22,222. Thank you very much, Eric. No other note. Mike Newman, 54,333 sats. Greetings, boardroom. He says, no jingles, no karma, just a boost. We got that for you. We'll give you a boost.
Boost.
Then we had, let me see, Tone Wrecker. I'm trying to orange pill many of my artist/creator friends as well. The struggle is real. Yes, I hear you.
Yeah, Tone Wrecker's doing the work. He's doing his own music and
oh, really?
And beating the bushes about about V4V music. Yep.
Nice.
Hard at work.
Relaxed Mail, 22,222. Finally hitting a live show. Y'all sound a bit stoned because I normally listen at 1.5 speed. Go podcasting. Yes, here we go. Go podcasting.
Yeah, you need to stop the 1.5 speed. It's really not good for your brain.
Do you jog past the Mona Lisa, you heathen? Servo 3333 boosting from Crontab. Thank you very much, Dave. Oh wait, see, where are we? No, that's it. I think we got them all. Those are the pre boosts that we had. Thank you all very much. That's people who are also sitting in the chat room, which you can be alerted to with Podverse that the stream is live, and CurioCaster. You can hit the live chat and the stream simultaneously. It's all part of the next phase. And I still haven't gotten the live pod ping from Todd Cochran. I'm so upset about this.
I know.
And I'm sure he is as well.
Yeah, I feel there's something that's just not working with Sovereign Feeds dashboard for him. We're going to have to set up I'm going to have to make something for you. Not for you, like something like the one you use, like the hook. We need to give him a hook where he can get on this train. I'm working as fast as I can to get the podcast podping.cloud live functionality going. We're getting there. I'm getting closer.
Actually, you know, why don't I take one quick look? New media show. Why not just take a look real quick at his? Because you know, in Sovereign Feeds, I can pop right in. Mm-hmm. So I can bring his feed up. So is this purely a pod ping issue he's having, I guess, then?
I think something with Stephen B's pod, I think it's something with his pod ping writer is not working right. It's not sending out the live reason code or something. It's just not, whenever Todd hits it, there's just nothing happens. It doesn't emit a pod ping.
Because I use the same system with the manual pod ping page for no agenda, and it works. So it's weird. Something's weird.
Something's not right. Yeah, I don't understand it. It must. Well, if it's working for you, then it's not. Wait. I'm sending the pod ping for no agenda, not Sovereign Fee.
Since when are you sending the pod ping for no agenda?
Because you have us. You have my webhook set as your webhook URL.
Yeah, but I never use that because I can't. The RSS feed is not there. So but I'm sorry.
Oh, you're not hitting that button. You're just
no. I was waiting for you to tell me it was working. Did you set that up with Mark so I can publish?
No.
so it wasn't working. Well, that's why I'm not doing it.
this is an indication that there are way too many moving parts within this stack. Yes.
I have no idea what you could just be Todd's official button pusher. So just listen to the stream and
that's all
type
I do.
His URL in there.
That's all I do, man. I just push buttons. That's all I do.
Okay, so Todd, text me when you need a live bot.
Yeah, and Todd, also just get on Albie, man. You know, it's, I know you want, or send a majority of the split to Albie so you can get some. And when you see the stats from Albie, you're gonna melt.
Has Oscar said? Has he mentioned whether or not, like, if he's getting close to doing the live notifications with Fountain?
Well, interesting, you asked that. I asked him this specifically, and he said yes, they were finishing up the player code, and we have a chat scheduled for Monday. So.
Oh, okay, cool, sweet. And I'm sure that's a big benefit for them, because there's a lot of those value for value shows. That
Live. I said, hey man, are you working on Lit? So I know, okay, man. Cool. Whenever a guy like us says, hey, do you have time to talk? I'm like, oh shit, something's wrong. Just run out of money. Something's going on. I'm just hoping for the best. But I asked him specifically. Do you have Lit on the roadmap? Said, yeah, it's on the way.
Oh, sweet.
A lot of work, man, doing an app. It's a heck of a lot of work. It's crazy.
It is. And Oscar moves fast. He puts stuff in so fast.
Yeah.
You want to do some PayPals?
Yeah, I think we should.
We've got one PayPal this week.
We have really transitioned, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. But this is a big one.
Okay.
It's from our buddies, John and, I'm drawing a blank. John Buddha and over at Transistor. Why can I not remember his name?
You're asking me. I don't know any names.
Justin Jackson.
Justin.
There you go. God, Justin. John and Justin. Yes.
John and Justin. I totally drew a blank. Thank you, John. Transit. They sent us $500, and I forgot his name.
Whoa.
Paula. Yes. Shot caller. Nice. Is Blaze on the Impala.
Podcasting.
Nice. Thank you so much. I don't think they've supported us this way before, have they?
Yeah. Not that I know of. I think this is their first donation. John and John Buddha and Justin Jackson, and he says, John and I are big fans of what you're doing. Thanks so much for everything you do.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. I love how the hosting community, and I will call them a community, they get it. Yeah. They get it. Yeah. Hey, by the way, most of the Bitcoin people, they don't get it.
They don't ever send us anything.
No, I never see a Bitcoin maxi saying, hey, you know what? Let's support these guys over here. Let's send them some boost. Never.
Yeah.
No.
All they do is
complain.
Thank you,
complain.
Thank you, Justin. And Justin was real. What prompted that donation was the TXT tag, because they're really, first mover on that. They jumped on it.
Nice,
they've already got it in their UI, as far as I can, like, he's posted screenshots.
Oh, dynamite. Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, appreciate those guys a lot. Thank you, Justin. And we've got, that was it. That was it for PayPal. We got some boosts.
What a transition, huh? We went from 100% PayPal to like one.
Amazing. Roy Scheinfeld, 54321.
Ah, Roy. Always there for us.
Boost! From the Breeze app, sitting in the tub with milk and rose petals.
And honey. Milk and rose petals and honey. And do you think he has like little nymphs around him, you know, just at his every beck and call?
Nymphs. Yes.
That just float around, little pixies.
They mist lavender in the air every so often. Yes.
Your Highness. Mist some lavender for you.
Sir Scheinfeld. Mike Newman. Again, we just mentioned Mike Newman. Yeah. He's back again. 2112, a rush boost through Podverse.
Nice. Thank you, Mike.
And he says, how about using some of these proposals together, like remote item and events? Producer A is the playlist DJ with a remote item pointing to one of producer B's items. Yes, finally, Adam got it. Events can link these things. B can always check A's feed to check that the remote item registered to A by A to B is there still there.
Ah.
Payload of event could provide the links. These tags proposals make beautiful music together. Team Repo Mike.
Hey, that's interesting. So you could have an event that is a dynamically generated remote item. Know what I'm saying?
No.
So an event could...
A dynamically generated remote
item. Which would mean that the remote item is not predetermined. I don't know. I think I need to smoke more drugs.
Yeah, my coffee's wearing off. I'm not good.
Let's just keep moving on. Sometimes, all right, that was a crash and burn. Sorry. It was
Bombshell. Okay, James Cridlin, 1001 Sats through Fountain. And he says, remote item. Agree that I would not use it for an episode drop, but perhaps I could produce a new podcast trailers feed wholly using a remote item. Again, I can't make them consistent, but I reckon I can do that perhaps. And I think he did. I think he must have done just that.
Yeah, he did just that. And I heard him kind of walking through that particular tag. And I just want to say again, it was designed with music in mind. Let's be honest about it. It's not like a completely intuitive thing for all podcasters.
Oh, one thing I want to say about that, because I heard him describing it, and he was like, well, I think most of the time you just want to put the enclosure in there and be done with it. I think he may be missing the bigger point here, which is you, with a remote item, you link to the entire item, which means that you get the benefit of absorbing all of its properties.
All the data, all the metadata.
Yeah, the value blocks, the sound bites, all that stuff. Like you pull the chapters, the transcript, all that stuff comes with it when you link to it, and you can still add your own stuff to it, but you also absorb. It's like
it's recursion.
It's like subclassing.
Yeah. Right.
So you know you're like extending a class almost. You're absorbing its properties, and you can add more properties.
But again, the practical use case, and I've never understood feed drops and takeovers and all that. It's like, no, my feed is mine. I'm not putting anything else there. But in the context of music and making playlists using the index and the namespace infrastructure and architecture, that's really where it's going to shine.
Mere Mortals podcast. 11111 through Fountain. It says, this is our buddy Kyron. He says, this remote item talk sounds like it would work well with clips that you guys play. So not only is it applicable to music playlists, but also referencing other podcasts.
Yeah. See, he went exactly the opposite, the other way. Yeah. I love it. Nice.
Let's see. Cole McCormick. 3333 through the Fountain app. He says, in need of jobs karma. I quit my job at the weed shop because they were stealing 15% of my tips and giving it to managers. I am confident the future is awesome if I lean into value for value and double down on podcasting.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You've got karma.
Wrong show, but okay.
That's okay. James Cridlin back again, 1001 sats. Through Fountain.
Hey, man, what is this 1001? It's like he knows the cutoff is 1,000. Yeah. And so he's just doing the extra, like, just, oh, I'll give these boys a little extra. Take a sat, boys.
Boost.
Okay. Just peeking over the wall. Yeah, right. Barely peeking
barely,
over the wall.
Barely.
His ambition is to be second last every week. Yeah.
What you've just described there is an EPG, an electronic program guide.
Yes.
Which most radio stations produce these days anyway for their apps. It works well.
Thank you. Thank you, James. That was dynamite. I saw this boostagram come in. This was based upon our conversation of hitting pod ping when a new show starts on 100% retro, which is still up. And I'm now adding episodes, which are basically promos for the week. And when he said that, I went, oh, yes, of course, this actually is a document that they make to send out to themselves internally, externally, etc. And so I said right away, I said, hey, I need an EPG from you guys. It needs to be structured. So it needs to be something that can be automatically read in by computer, and they will get that to me. So we're on our way.
And I will say that PodPing is going to get even broader in scope and better. Me and Alex have been brainstorming a bunch of stuff this week. And we got there will be more news on that front in the future, but it will be, it's going to become even more universal.
Nice.
Gene Everett, 33,000 sats. He says, boost, boost, boost.
Boost, boost, boost.
Something like that.
Kyron from the Mere Mortals podcast back again with a row of sticks, 11-1-11. He says, there's nobody I trust more than Dave to willy-nilly around in the namespace. Oh, that's right. that's so inappropriate, Kyron. Esselsi sent 1776 sass, and he says, not just value for value playlists, but also V for V for end of show mixes that split all the same samples they use.
Yes, yes.
Intergalactic Boombox gets splits every time I boost. Yep, exactly right. Sourced sent us Elite 1337 sats and through Podverse, and he says, go podcasting!
Go podcasting!
First Albie boost from Podverse.
Nice.
Max Burns sent us 40,000 sats through Fountain, and he says, drain the wallet. The entire community behind Podcasting 2.0 are doing important work and doing it well. Really love all the new apps and features this enables. Thank you, Scott and Jalbert. Sir Scott on the other show.
Boostagram.
Billy Bones sent us 3333 through Fountain. No note. 16969 from Hey Citizen through Podverse. He says, I'd just like to interject for a moment. What you're referring to as value is in fact value for value, whereas I've recently taken to calling it value plus value. Value for value is not content unto itself, but rather another free component of a fully functioning podcasting system made useful by the creators, dudes named Ben, and vital producers comprising a full P2.0 system as defined by the namespace.
So what is he saying? That we need to name it differently?
I think he's just saying that it's even broader in scope than we even possibly imagine. Oh,
okay. Yes, thank you.
Hey, citizen.
Thank you.
Franco Solario, the genius developer behind Castomatic, sent us 1107. No note. Send a note next time, Franco.
Yeah, Franco.
I miss you. Dave Jackson, Hall of Famer, sent us 2428 through Castomatic.
Hall of Famer.
Boost. No note.
I get Dave Jackson, fellow Hall of Famer.
Fellow. Yes. I see. I can't say that. You have to say it. Oh, Dave, I'm not a Hall of Famer. Oh,
Dave, you're going to get your award, man. You're going to get your award. Yeah, believe me.
In 2096.
And no, these things, this is weird the way that works. You'll get an award. Watch.
Mint Lion, 11111, big row of sticks through Breeze. And it says, just streamed 111K sats a minute for 10 minutes, also in Breeze. So you can see if those appear as boosts or not. I did see that, and it did, and it came through, yes.
And I also, you were right. Whoever it was sending 3,033 sats a minute for quite a while the other day.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that because he's next on my list. It's Auburn Citadel.
And he shows up, Auburn Citadel, hold on, let me look at my dashboard. I think he's one of the top supporters across all the podcasts that I have with a piece going to Albie, which is basically everything. He's like he's like the top. Yeah, he's like 2.2 million sats or something totally sent to podcast I'm involved in.
Holy crap. The whale. You get a whale.
We've got a whale, people. We caught ourselves a value for value whale.
Auburn Citadel totals up last episode to 173,316 sats. Thank you, Auburn Citadel.
Wait, how much did he send?
173,316.
Damn.
Paula, Shakala, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
Means that.
5,000 sats from Boomy. And he says, wahoo. Okay. Back at you, Boomy. Gene Bean sent us 2425 through Castomatic.
I'm sorry, how much?
2125.
Mm-hmm.
Conshax sent us 100,021 sats through Fountain. And he says, check out conshax.app for stats about your stats about your sats. Wait, so the Conshax app sent us sats.
Huh. The Conshax app itself?
This is it's clearly achieved sentience and is now sending out boostergrams.
Is it draining my wallet?
I hope not.
This is interesting. Well, maybe you can send stuff here. I don't know.
And is sending them through Fountain.
So, oh, okay. All right, gotcha.
Brian of London in the Hive DAO sent us 47,331 sats.
Thank you, Brian.
Okay, this is song lyrics. And when the eloquence escapes me, the logic ties me up and rapes me. Oh, that's the Police.
Yeah. All I want to do for you. It's called the That's the name of the song. The DDD song.
Was it S from a Synchronicity 2, I think? Like that reference. Dovidas, 11,211 sats. He's from the creator behind RSS Blue. He says, question, what is the significance of this palindromic boost? Answer, I need to refill my Fountain wallet. Okay. 11211. Thank you, Dobie Doss. Appreciate that.
Here it is, Dave.
Oh, what a great song.
It's
Okay. I'm never going to remember that. Yeah. Great drummer. Forgot his name, but he's great.
Stuart Copeland.
He used a doubler on his drums, which always made it sound like it had a little bit of a delay, like a little delay effect.
He has a very interesting way of drumming.
Yeah.
Crazy. Just look at him. It's like, how many arms do you have?
Wasn't he on, am I crazy, or was he on like one of those Tonight Show bands for a while?
No, I don't think so.
For like a short stint.
Okay. Maybe Max Weinberg. Maybe he was in that for a second. That would be the only place I could imagine him.
I think he may have sat in for Max Weinberg a few times.
In fact, I think you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Max Weinberg get canceled?
Oh, I don't know. This is new to me.
Oh my God. This is way before canceling.
Okay. What did he do?
I don't know.
Conan said the wrong before thing. Conan, because I think he left when Conan kind of got kicked off of TBS, but he was there for like tons, like lot. I don't know, several years before that.
But didn't he leaves? There was something. Maybe did he just leave?
I don't know that. I don't remember.
Well, they went back on tour. I think I don't know. I think he was. It was having a hard. I used to watch Conan all the time. I think. He just found it hard to do both at a certain point after 20 years or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, you're
right. Being in Conan's band.
Comic strip blogger, The Delimiter.
There he is.
15,033 sats through Fountain. And he says, dearest Adam and Dave, your smart cookie producers are invited to put AI.cooking into any web browser or podcast app to enjoy the infotainment on offer. Please allow them to be soothed by the silky smooth tones of former BBC actor and TV show developer Gregory Foreman whilst becoming informed about artificial intelligence. Yo, see this bro.
Thank y'all for hitting that boost button. And thanks for the big boosts. And we have some monthlies.
We got Chad Farrow, $20.22. Thank you, Chad. Scott Jalbert, $12. Mark Graham, $1. New Media, $1. David Midas, $10. Thank you, David. I appreciate that. And Joseph Maraca, $5. And that was, I really appreciate Transistor coming in because we lost about $50 a month in PayPal.
Oh, I bet we did.
So that really helps. Yeah. That's it. Our group.
Just reading Ice Cube Soup in the chat. Mm-hmm. With a feature request, which I thought was really interesting because we were just talking about these high-level streaming sat payments. Mm-hmm. Feature request, streaming boost level elevation with Deadman Switch. Functions like this. Streaming boost rate is elevated after you push the button and stays elevated until the app notices you haven't reaffirmed your intent in the last 10 minutes. That's kind of an interesting idea.
I don't understand.
So you can decide, okay, I'm going to send 5,000 sats a minute for as long as I'm listening. However, every 10 minutes, the app is going to ask me if I'm still here or it will stop. Like a train dead man switch.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's
like when you fall asleep listening to a podcast.
Exactly. You want it, it's highly rated, but you do want it. I don't know.
I can see that.
Yeah. Just empty your wallet and boost a gram to us. That's all. That's the best, the most fun you can have. And if it's above $100 in fiat fun coupons, we will send you an official t-shirt. Which is not available anywhere except through donations on this show. Am I correct? Do we still have access to this great deal?
We do. I've sent one for Darren O just the other day.
Thank you again for supporting Podcasting 2.0, the podcast, for supporting the infrastructure for the project. And of course, it's time, talent, and treasure. So many of you are doing things that are just, including John Spurlock. Doing amazing work to make the circle of scissor running even wider, which is appreciated.
Thanks, guys. It's always fun being on. And Dave, I love the fact that we don't have to have communication meetings. Like we just have the asynchronous Mastodon. And I love when you bring up a proposal or something. You've completely integrated it. Like I never have to yell at the radio and say, no, it's like this because you get it. And I think that's really cool that . We have a project where people can kind of do their own thing, but everyone kind of understands the goal here. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for that. And I think you're right. I think that's one of the strengths of this project. That's probably not like a lot of others that I've seen is that everybody is it's loose. So it doesn't feel oppressive, but it's also everybody at the same time gets everybody. We have a shared vision. I really like it. It feels really good. It's not been like anything I've ever experienced before.
Even Elon Musk could not hire this team. That's the way I see it. No effing way.
No way.
All right, Dave, you good, man? You good for the weekend? Everything cool?
Yep. Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm going to head back to the office and finish out a day. And then I'm ready for the weekend.
John Spurlock, back to the penthouse?
No, back to the OP3 dungeon. I'm working away trying to get this thing to actually work here. So anyone that wants
take lots of meat.
Yeah. Add OP3 to your feeds, folks. Thanks. We'll have something to show in a few weeks.
Thanks again for your time, John. Really appreciate it.
Yep, thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
And everybody in the chat room, thank you very much for being with us here on this LET episode. Podcasting 2.0. No meetings except for one, the board meeting every Friday. We'll see you here next week. Bye-bye.
Bombshell. You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!